The first speaker who really speaks of what he knows this morning is Chris Christensen, who we all know, of course, is the current president of the entire IRCSI at this time. As we'll be seeing, he's undertaken solar observations since very shortly after the war, and he's most noted for his grating arrays and crosses, which inevitably became known as crisscrosses, a pioneer in the early ideas regarding aperture synthesis. And right now I'm happy to say, from my own pedagogical point of view, that he's working on a second edition of the marvelous book that he's written with Jan Herkom on radio telescopes. I thought I would show us, if these speakers are not willing to do it, I forgot the next slide, please. I thought I would show some pictures of them from their era about which they're going to be talking. And here, in fact, is a grouped portrait taken in 1952 at that IRCSI meeting that I was speaking about in Sydney. And this was the so-called 21 centimeter club at that time. It consisted of Frank Kerr, who will be coming up speaking later, and Paul Wilde, who had not done any observations but had worked on the theory of the 21 centimeter line, Jim Heineman, who worked with Chris Christensen over here on the first Australian observations, Doc Ewan, who made the discovery working at Harvard, and Lex Mueller, who made the discovery working in Holland. The only people missing are Purcell, Ewan's thesis advisor, Jan Oort from Holland, and Hank Vanderhals, who, of course, predicted the line. So with no further ado, let's introduce Professor Christensen.
Because then we can turn the glass up.
Right.
This is far from the little bit. If we'll get over here, I can use this light to read light.
Great.
Oh, that's beautiful. Is that all right?
Yeah.
I think it might be better to do this because those lights make it very difficult to see the stars.
Thanks.
Well, after that very, very good historical talk, I feel a bit nervous about speaking because I'm no historian, and it's. I think I should. I feel I need to check my history much more carefully than I have. Well, now, I'll just say a little bit about the solar work in an amateurish fashion before I was concerned with it. As you remember, by the end of the Second World War, it was known that radio waves were emitted from the sun, and already two different points had been established. The first one was that the thermal spectrum of the sun did extend to centimeter wavelength. And you remember that during the war, Southworth testing equipment had made an attempt to calculate the temperature of the sun. I don't know exactly what happened, but there was a mistake made in the calculations, and it turned out to be 6,000 degrees, which is, of course, what was expected, whereas, in fact, he should have got temperatures considerably higher. The second observation was one that in fact had been made by amateurs before the war. I thought, so the story says. I may be corrected. You can call out if you like when I say the wrong thing on this. But it is alleged that on several occasions amateurs sent stuff to Appleton telling him about this noise that came up during noise storms, and Appleton ignored it, but later on reproduced it with its flourish when it was found that this was the case. And then, of course, during the war, radar interference with radar observations by the sun became quite obvious, and Hay looked into this very carefully and established that that there were intense bursts of interference coming from the sun during the times when there were sunspots. Well, immediately after the war, there were lots of groups that had been working.